Hey, filmmakers, this is Herschel Zahn coming at you with another episode of the Film Aspire podcast. Where is September going? It's going fast. Anyway, station ID, you're listening to the Film Aspire podcast at filmaspire.podomatic.com. My name is Herschel Zahn, and I'd like to take a quick minute and talk about our sponsor, the Acting for Your Life podcast, actingforyourlife.podomatic.com. Everything you want to know about the business of acting, hosted by the lovely Miss Catherine Ray Furrow. If you have not been listening to her podcast, you need to remedy that situation. Go over to filmaspire.podomatic.com, click subscribe, and then get back over here and finish the podcast we're going to talk about today. Now, I had a bunch of funny ways I was going to start today's podcast, from Disney songs to quippy statements to lots of different ideas. But we're going to talk about the director today, and I'm going to actually keep this one pretty short. There's something that I've been noticing in the indie film world, and that's that everybody wants to be a director. Everybody wants that prestige. Everybody wants to feel like they are going to do that job. They look at, you know, the Alfred Hitchcocks of the world, or the Cecil B. DeMilles, or all these wonderful directors, even bringing more forward the Spielbergs, the J.J. Abrams, there's a million and one, I could go on and on. But everybody wants to be a director. And not everybody can be a director. And even in Hollywood, you've had instances where people have directed and it just hasn't worked. It hasn't happened, it didn't go well. Some people are just not built to be a director, because being a director is vastly more than talking to the actors and yelling action and cut. It's such a bigger job than that. And we're going to talk a little bit about what it really takes to be a director. Okay? One of the first things is you have to have vision, really. I mean, that's a kind of a heady, arty statement to make, but you do really have to have vision to be a director. You have to understand, A, what the script is about, B, what the individual scenes are about, and then D, what, you know, the film is trying to say. You know, every film, whether it tries to or not, some try much harder than others, but films say something. Projects say something. And maybe it's just saying, you know, your project that you're working on, maybe it's saying, hey, come down to Reggie's Diner. It's open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday. Maybe that's all that your project is trying to say, but you as the director have to have the vision to make sure that it is entertaining enough that people are not going to click off of it the second the commercial comes on, and B, that it gets the information across in a way that works. Okay, so that's one of the first things. You have to have vision. The next thing is you have to, at least somewhat, you don't have to be completely proficient at it, but you have to have some technical proficiency about what you're doing. You have to understand what lighting is used for what things, whether you're using, you know, an LED light, or you're using a tungsten light, or you're going to use a CFL, or you're going to use different things. And you need to know what the different pieces and parts do and what they're for, what the masks are for, what the floppies are for, what the silks are for. You don't have to know how to use them. You don't have to know how to put them together, but you should know what they are. You should know how they work and why they work. That's very, very, very important. Okay, you have to have some technical proficiency. When dealing with actors, you need to understand and be sensitive to the actor's process. Now, not all directors are actors. Some of the best directors out there are actors. I think of John Cusack and Mel Brooks. They are very talented actors, but they're brilliant directors at the same time. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. But you have to be sensitive to the actor's process. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten on set and gotten into situations with directors who didn't understand the actor's process and really put me in a bind to do the things that I needed to do as an actor, because they just expected me to be able to pop up and do it. And sometimes you can. Sometimes there are situations that an actor can just, you know, walk on set, deliver the line, and they're done. Sometimes if it's a really highly emotional scene, or there's a lot of drama, or there's safety issues, actors need a bit to get into the right headspace to make those things happen. You know, it's most people don't walk around in a state of near tears 24/7. Now, there are actors that do that, but most of us don't. Most of us have to really take a moment and figure out what about the scene is going to allow us to have the emotional response that we need to have to please the director. Because actors, at the end of the day, want to please the director. And they want to be vilified in knowing that they have done a good job. And that's another part of the director's what the director has to be able to do. The director has to be, amongst other things, a cheerleader. You know, it's not enough just to know the technical side or just to understand acting. The director has to be a cheerleader for everybody on set. The director has to be the one cheering the crew on. And I say cheer. I mean, they have to be. They don't have to be standing out there in pom-poms and a miniskirt getting things done. But they should be able to thank the crew for their work. They should be able to thank the actors for their work. And yes, most of the time you are paying these people, and that is their job to do. But they like to know that they did a good job. And some of the most effective directors, there's two types of directors that really work well. The most effective directors are either the world's biggest cheerleaders or the world's biggest pricks, okay? There are directors that direct via fear and intimidation, and sometimes they're brilliant. Sometimes they get really, really good performances because, you know, the actors just get to the point they don't want to be yelled at, so they're going to do good work. I personally think that running a set on fear and intimidation is wrong, and it shouldn't be done that way. And if you're spending more time yelling at people than you are making a movie, then you maybe need to reevaluate your priorities and reevaluate what industry you work in. But I think directors who can be a cheerleader and be there and talk to the actors and talk to the crew. You don't want to be yelling at everybody all the time. There is a job for that. It's called first assistant director, and that person really does, they do get paid to yell at people and keep them on task. But even they have to have a certain amount of personal skills. You have to have personal skills to have that title of director, whether it is artistic director, producing director, director, first assistant director, second assistant director, second assistant director. The director name, director of photography. You have to have some amount of personal and social skills to deal with the individuals because you are the leader of the team. You're the quarterback of the football team. And not every individual is capable of being that. And they can. Some people grow into it. Some people are forced into it. But there are some people that just should stay in the background. I mean, if you're a writer, you're a writer. If you're a DP, you're a DP. I have known directors of photography that I would not have talked to an actor if they were the last person on the face of the earth because they just don't have the social skills. They may be brilliant artists. They may be brilliant cinematographers. They may be great lighters, but they have no business talking to actors other than to say, can you please step a little this way or can you please step a little that way? You don't want them interfering. And that's the thing, as a director, you have to also understand where the boundaries have to be set. You don't want other actors trying to give direction to other actors. You don't want the crew giving the actors notes. You have to be able to set those boundaries as the director. And then the director has to then become an actor, because once the film is made, the director becomes the face of the technical side of the film. Now, and that's in general. Sometimes if the film is shot in a particular way, the director of photography will really be out there in the marketing phase and the post and after post-production. They'll really be out there talking about what they did and promoting the film. But the director is the technical representative of the film, the director and the producers. And the producers really are more from a financial side and artistic side. The director is there to talk about why we made these choices here, why we made this cut there, why we did that, why we did this. They are the face of the film where the actors can't be. The actors are always going to be the face of the film. The director is a heavy burden job because they have to be the face of the technical aspects of the film, and they will also be the one that takes the blame if the film doesn't work. 9 times out of 10, the lead actor or the director will take the fall if the film is crap. And honestly, 9 times out of 10, that is justifiable. It is the director's fault if the film is crap. So not every individual is born to be a director. Some people are just born to it. I don't think anybody could deny that Steven Spielberg was simply just born to be a director. But if that job does not suit you, you're going to know it pretty quick, and don't try and force it. If you are a writer and you want to give directing a try, then give it a try. If it works, great. If it doesn't, be a writer and be okay with that and know that that's okay. If you're an actor and you want to try directing and it doesn't work out, then be an actor and be damn proud to be an actor. It's okay. If you are born to be a director, you have one of the greatest jobs in the world, one of the most gratifying jobs in the world, because you'll plan out and do all these wonderful things, you know, get all these plans and ideas in your head as a director, and when you see it come to fruition, it is so gratifying, and it's wonderful. It's just a wonderful feeling. And if you are born to be a director, then you're a very, very lucky individual. And if you're an individual who can do many different things in this industry, if you are an actor, director, producer, writer, blah, 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 even better. You have more options. You can work more often. But don't try and force a director, and don't try and hire somebody or allow someone who's not a director to direct, because you're just going to end up with more battles and headaches than it's worth. Okay, that's going to be about it. Like I said, this is going to be a short podcast. You're listening to the Film Aspire podcast. If you have questions, comments, or show topic suggestions, please do email those to filmaspire@live.com, and we will try and get those answered. And wherever you are, whatever job you are doing as a filmmaker, because a filmmaker is not a director, a filmmaker is not a director of photography or an actor, it's everybody. Everybody that works on the film is a filmmaker. And as filmmakers, we all have a story to tell, and that's what I invite you to do, is get out there, wherever you are, whatever job you're doing, and tell your story.